Starting from the very end of Chafalv Amid Beis, just to recap a little bit, Rav Avohu says that every Isser in the Torah, by default, even though it's an Isser Achila, includes Isser Hana as well. So we said, according to Rebbe, you can't learn that from the fact that the Torah has to say Nevelah is Mutar Bar Hana, because over there the Pasuk needed to say exactly what type of Hanas are Mutar and what type of Hanas are Aser, and it's not extra. Rather, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Avohu learns this halacha from Treifa, where it says over there, like Hel Tashlich Noisla, you could throw it to the dog, so we say it may be thrown, but other Isurim may not be thrown because they're Aser Ba'ana. Remeir, who learns the Isra Na out of Nevele, what does he do with the Isra? So the Gemara says, it's coming to teach us that Chulin Shenishchat of Azara, if you want them with Shech Chulin in the Azara, where the Torah doesn't explicitly say anywhere that it's Aser, so this pasuk comes to say, it meaning Treva may be thrown, but not Chulin Shenishchat of Azara. Then the Gemara asks the Kasha from Gid Anosha. The Gemara says, the pasuk says by Gid Anosha that it may not be in, and nonetheless it says in the Bais, a person could send a thigh of an animal to a guy with the Gid Anosha inside of it, and we're not afraid that another Jew might know that it comes from a Jew and eat it, because you could tell that the Gid Anosha is there. Bottom line, you see, could have a na. So the Gemara says that when the Torah was matir, a nevela, it was matir the entire nevela, including its chelav and its gid, so chelav and gid are also mutar bana. That's very good if you hold yesh beginim benais and tam, that a gid has taste to it, and therefore it's part of the nevela that the Torah was matir. But if you hold the imbeginim benais and tam, so then the Torah was never matir it. So we said, and a chanami, who's the mandamar imbeginim benais and tam, Rav Shimon? Like we have a machlokes, if someone eats the gid anoshav of a non-kosher animal, Rav Yehuda says there's two machlokes, one for gid anoshav, one for the non-kosher animal. Rav Shimon says there's no machlokes for gid anoshav, and there's no machlokes for the non-kosher animal as well, because they ain't begid minayis and dam. Rav Shimon also holds that a gid anoshav is also ba'na, because we have a brisa that it says a gid anoshav is mutar ba'na according to Rav Yehuda, and according to Rav Shimon it's also ba'na. Then the Gemara asks from dam. The Gemara says not to eat. The pasuk says not to eat dam, and nonetheless, the Mishnah Yuma tells us that the dam from the karbanos after drained off the mizbeach, it was sold to gardeners to use as fertilizer, and if they would have enough from it without paying for it, they would be over mila. But we see that it's mutar bana. So the Gemara says over there it's because the Torah compares dam to water. Al aretz v'shebchenu kamoyim. So just like water is mutter, so too dam is mutter. How do you know we're talking about water as mutter? Maybe we're talking about the water that's poured on the mizbeach, which is aser, because it says you should pour it out, you spill it like water. The one that on mizbeach is poured, it's not spilled. And the one, it can't be the water of Avodah Zarah as well, because the water of Avodah Zarah is also called nisach, it's also called pouring, not spilling, like it says in the pasuk, yishtu yei nesicha. According to Chizkiyahu, who holds by default, all Isuri Achilu do not include Isra Na, so why does the Torah have to compare dam to water? The teachers the halacha that dam kachim is not machshir lekabel tumah, because only water that's nishbach, that is spilled freely like water, is machshir lekabel tumah, but blood of kachim, which is not freely spilled, is not machshir lekabel tumah. Then the Gemara asks him, Eber Menachai, the Torah says not to eat it, and nonetheless we have a vice that says the reason why you can't hand a cup of wine to another, or an Eber Menachai to a guy, is because of Lifnei Eber. It's Masha where there's no Lifnei Eber. For example, to hand it to a dog would be okay, and it's Mutar Bana. So the Gemara says that's because the Torah was Makish Eber Menachai to Dam. So just like Dam is Mutar Bana, so too Eber Menachai is Mutar Bana. According to Chizkiyah, why was the Torah Makish Dam to Eber Menachai? Torah exists to tell us the opposite way. That just like the Eber Menachai is Aser, so too Dam from a living animal is Aser, which is the Dam HaKaza when you let blood out of an animal. So the part that's nefesh yotzei, but the part that's called the lifeblood of the animal, that would be, even though it's coming from a live animal, it would be also because of achilas dam. Then the Gemara asks from Shara Niskal, the pasuk says lo ye achilas b'sarai, and the Bryce explains, what do you need this for? If it gets skila, obviously you can't eat it, it's a nevela. And on that, the Bryce answers that it's coming to teach us that even if you were checked it before the skila, it would be aser. And the Bryce continues, that's how I know it's also bachila. How do I know it's also bana? Because it says bala sharnaki, which is as if he said he's clean out from his nechasim and he has no ana from them. So it's mashma that the only reason why it's also bana is because of this new drush of bala sharnaki. Otherwise, you wouldn't say it's also bana. And this is a kashan ravo and even on chizkiyah, because over here it says yei achel, that even chizkiyah is mashma, is ma'id that it includes an isra ana. So the Gemara answers, the reason why we need Bala Sharnaki is to include the hide, the skin of the animal, because I would think it says Le'yechos Besare, so only the Basa would be Asaban, Achila and Ba'ano. Only because of Bala Sharnaki you know the R. Then the Gemara asks, according to the other Tanaim of Bava Kamma, who learn other drashas on Bala Sharnaki, to say that Ashar Tam, who kills, doesn't have to pay Chatzi Kaifer, or Ashar that kills doesn't causes a lady to miscarry doesn't pay the Mevaladois, doesn't pay for the owner of the shah doesn't pay to the father of the baby for the child. So how do they know that the ar, the skin, is also bana? So the Gemara answers from es basari, the es says what is tough, what is secondary to the basa, which is the hide. According to the first one, number one, is thing learned from there. So he doesn't darshan es like Shim, like we have in the Brisa, Shimon Suni used to darshan all the s's in the Torah until he got to Esa Hashem Lekechotira, and he didn't have anything to include from there because there's nothing that you can include to have mer like mer shemaim. Therefore, he was chayzer from all the drushes that he made, and he said the same way that I got schar for dashening, I'll get schar for retracting from all of them. Until Rabbi Kiva came, and Rabbi Kiva said, no, Es Hashem Lekechotira, the s is coming to include Amir Chum. So Aliba the Emes, Rabbi Kiva dashens s, but Shimon Amsuni who doesn't dashen s because he retracted. Then the Gemara asks from Arlov. It says by Arlov lo yeyachel, and nonetheless, we have a bais that says, how do you know that Arlov is aser behana, and how do you know you can't die with it or use it for to light a candle for fuel? Because it says the expression of Arlov three times, Araltem Arlov sein arelim. So it's mashma that the only reason why it's aser behana is because it says it three times. Otherwise, it wouldn't be aser behana, even though it says lo yeyachel. Again, this is akasha on Chizkiah and on Rebbevo. So the Gemara says over there is different because since it says lachem, I would think it's coming to say that it's yours to have anah from it. So according to the maskana that it's also anah, so why does it say lachem? For the different joshua that according to the Tanakam, lachem is lashon rabim to say that even a tree that's planted for the rabbim, for the public, is chayv and arla. And Rabbi Yehuda says the exact opposite. Lachem is coming to exclude a tree that's planted for the rabbim from arla. So the Gemara explains the machlekes that the Tanakam holds when it says unetatim. It's talking to individuals because they are normally the ones who plant. So you need lachem to include rabbim. Whereas if Yehuda holds no, netatim means anybody who plants it, whether it's an individual, whether it's a rabbim. And then it says again lachem, which is again a rabbim. So it's a riboy acharibu, and the rule is when the Torah has a riboy acharibu, it's coming to exclude. Therefore, he says it's excluding a rabbim. Then the Gemara asks some chuma where it says that one may not eat chuma. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Nervin says you can make an error for another with wine, or for Yisrael with Chuma. So we see he could have enough from Chuma. So Rapapa says, because it says Chuma Aschem, it means to say it's yours to have enough from it. According to Chizkiah, that by default, Isur Achila, not also by now, why does it have to say Chuma Aschem? Because it's talking to all Klai, so plural, so it's the normal way to say Chuma Aschem. Then the Gemara asks from Nazar, like we just said before, that he's allowed to have enough from it, even though the Torah says, Mechartzanim al Zag lo Yoichal. So the Gemara answers, since it says Nizrai, again, it's coming to say Shaloya, hey, it's his to have enough of it. Rav Ashi says another teretz. Since it says Kodesh Yeh Galoperas HaRosha, it's coming to say that the hair of his head is Kodesh, which implies that the other things of another are not Kodesh, they're not also Bana. Says the Gemara, who says? Maybe it means his hair is Kodesh. Who says not anything else? Therefore, the Gemara says the Iker Teretz is like the first Teretz. Then the Gemara asks from Chodosh, which again it says Leisaychlu, and nonetheless we say that a person could harvest before the Omer and feed it to his animals. So the Gemara answers because it says over there as well, Ketzir Chem, which is a matzah, is yours to have enough from it. According to Chizkiah, why does it say Ketzir Chem? Because it's talking to Klai Yisrael, plural. Then by non-kosher animals, it says Sheketu Lo Yeyochel, that they cannot be eaten. And nonetheless, it says trappers, if they end up trapping non-kosher species, they can sell it to a guy. How could they have enough from it? So the Gemara says because it says in that Pasuk Lechem as well. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, why can't you even trap non-kosher species and do business with it, l'chatchila? So the Gemara says, because it also says, you in the pasuk, that means they remain in their iser. So the way we reconcile is, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to do business with them, but if one is trying to catch kosher species and he ends up getting them, then he's allowed to sell it to the guy. Chametz, which it says, l'yachal chametz, and nonetheless, we have a shita later on in our paragraph, Beresi Aglila says, that chametz is motabana. So this is a kasha both on Rebbevo and even on Chizkiah. So the Gemara says over here, he says it's motu because it says la'yira l'cha. L'cha means it's yours to have enough of it. According to Rabbanon, why is it also? Because they say l'cha is coming to say that only your chametz is aser, but the chametz of Kehekdesh or chametz of a guy is motu. So Rabbi Yosi will tell you because it says l'cha twice, two psukim of la'yira l'cha regarding sar. On that, the Rabbanan answer back, you need two. One for a guy that's not under your jurisdiction, and one to say even a guy that's under your jurisdiction. So Rabbi Yosi Aglil will answer, but there's a third lacha that's said by chametz. So on that the Rabbanan answer, you can't learn from chametz to sar or sar to chametz, and therefore you need all three for the heter of a guy, and none of them are extra to teach us that it's mutar b'ana. Then the Gemara wanted to say it's a machlokes tanoim, because it says by Chela that it's Ye'alsa l'chol melacha, it may be used for all melacha. So what does the l'chol come to teach us? So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, I would think it's only mutter to use for hana, for melacha of hektish. How do you know even for an individual, even for a hadyit? Kamash melon l'chol. Rabbi Kiva says, no, I would think that it's only tar, because even though it came from an avela, the Chela is nonetheless tar for a hadyit. But how do you know that it's tar even for hektish? That's what the l'chol tells us. So it comes out of Rabbi Yosi Aglili needs l'chol for not for Isser Veheter and not for Tumadara, but he was the opposite. He needs it for Tumadara and not for Isser Veheter. So what's the machlokes? Isn't it that Yosi Aglili holds that Loisoichlu means by default, like a Revavo, in Isser Hano, and therefore you need the pasuk to say Isser Veheter to say that it's Mutar Bana. Whereas Rabbi Kiva holds like Chizkiya that it's not Isser Bana, and therefore you don't need a pasuk to say that it's Mutar to use, rather you need a pasuk to say that it's Tar. The Gemara says no. Really, everybody could hold a Revavo that by default Isurim are Aser. The reason why Chelev, according to Bekiva, doesn't need a pasuk is because he holds that when the Torah was Mater Nevela, like we said before, it was Mater the whole package, including the Chelev of the Gid. Whereas Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that it was only Mater the Nevela itself, but not the Chelev and the Gid. So says the Gemara, according to that, so Rabbi Yosi Aglili knows a Chelev is Mater from this Drush of Lachal Malacha. But how does he know that Gid Anosh is Mater? So the Gemara says maybe he helps like Rav Shimon and Echanami that Gid Anosh is Aser, or you could say that he has a Kavachayim Rechelev, which is Chayiv Karis, is Mutter. So Gid, which is not Chayiv Karis, is Koshken, is Mutter. So Rav Shimon, who says Gid Anosh is Aser, but no, why doesn't he hold this Kavachayim? Because they have a Pircha, there's a Kul and Chelev, that it's Hutter Maklod, there's an exception to the rule of Chelev, that Chelev of Machai is Mutter. On that, Rav Yosi Aglili will answer back that, but we're talking now of an avail of a behemah, and in behemah there's no exception, so it's a valid kavachaymer. So the Gemara asked, now at the end of the day, that we asked all these kashas, so what's, and answered them, so what's the difference between chizki and ravo? So the Gemara says, the difference is chametz and pesach according to Rabbanon, and sharnisko according to everybody, they're also, but no, what's the source? According to ravo, it's learned out of an avail, whereas according to chizki, it's learned from layayachal. Says the Gemara, but fine, but at the end of the day, is there a nafkamina? So the Gemara says, yes, the nafkamina will be chulun shenishkatu bazar. According to Chizkiya, the Isser is learned from Le'yachol, so the Isser of Treifa is actually to teach us chulun shenishkatu bazar is Aser. Whereas according to Revo, according to Yehuda, you need Lakel Tashikonoise to say other Isurim Shabbatayra are Aser Bahana, and therefore it's not extra, and chulun shenishkatu bazar would be Drabbanan. Then there was a Talmud who was sitting in front of Rishmo Marachmeni, and he said in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, how do I know that all these certain of the Torah, which is Shara Niskol and Chametz B'Pesach, are Aser Behana? So first the Gemara interjects, what do you mean? Why don't you learn it from Le'yachol? Torah says he doesn't hold the Le'yachol is Mashma like Chizkiya, that it includes an Isra Na. So says the Gemara, why don't you learn it like Reb Avo learned according to Meir from Nevela? Torah says because he holds that the Psukim of Nevela are needed to see Dvarim Kichsavim, to say that to a ger is dafka ben asina and to a guy dafka ben mechira, and therefore it's not extra to teach us that other Yisurim are also bana. So why doesn't he learn it from Treif and from Lakal Tashrich and Oysai? Teretz is because he uses the Oysai to teach us Kulon Shemishkatu Bazar. So at the end of the day, how do you know Shari Yisurim and Shabbatayra are also bana? So the Gemara wanted to learn it from the Psukim that says any Chatos that the Dam is brought inside instead of brought on the outside Mizbeach, it cannot, may not be eaten, rather it has to be burnt. Now these psukim that it says basic sarf that it has to be burnt are extra, because we already know from the Meluim where it says v'nei'sarif that when the dam is brought inside it has to be burnt. So why does it say it? If it's not needed for here, we'll use it for other Yisur and Shabbatar. And if it's not needed to say the Derasa Be'achila, because we already know that, must be it's coming to say the Derasa Be'ana. If so, maybe they are required to be burnt. So on that we say no. It says Bakayish basis are of Dafka Kachim requires Sefer, but the other Yisurim do not require to be burnt. Says the Gemara, don't we need this pasuk to teach us that when a Chatas is possible, other Kachim are possible, that they have to be burnt Dafka Be'kayish in the Azara? So rather, says the Gemara, you learn it from the Sukkim of the Meluim. It says that if any of the Karbanos of the Meluim become extra, they may not be eaten, rather they have to be burned. Now, why does it say lo yeachol? If it's not needed for here, because we already know that from the pasuk that says that all Noser has to be burnt, must be that it's coming for all Yisrael Shabbat Torah. And again, it's not needed to say that they're also, but rather that they're also Bano. If we're going to learn from there, just like Noser requires wafer, so too this requires wafer. Teretz is, it says, Vasarafta has Hanoser Boish, which teaches us Dafka Noser needs wafer, but not other Yisrael in the Torah. Says the Gemara, don't we need this drush of Loyachal for something else that Rebbe Elazar darshins? That means any kachim that are pasul, whatever type of psul it is, there is a general loisa say to say that they may not be eaten. Rather, says Abayi, go back to the first pasuk, which is the pasuk of chadash that the dam went inside, and not that the words beish esarf are actual, but rather the words loisaychol are actual, because now that we know kachim pasul, there's a loisa say to eat it. So why did they have to say over there loisaychol must be? It's mainly eating to teach us other Yisroel Shabbat Torah. And again, they don't require a sreva because it says Hanoiser. So on that, the Gemara says, but maybe we need a specific lav over here by Chatos that its dam came inside, because if you're going to learn from the general lav over there, it wouldn't warrant Malkus, because the rule is that a lav Shabbat Kolos, a lav that includes many things, doesn't warrant Malkus. So therefore, this pasuk comes to say that by a special lav by chata shehuva dam lefnim, to say that it gets malchus. So therefore, the Gemara says we're going to learn it from another pasuk. It says basar sheyida b'chol tamei lo yoichal. Any meat of kashim that became tamei may not be eaten; rather, it has to be burnt. So it doesn't have to tell us lo yoichal, because we can make a kavah chaymer from ma'aser sheni, which is more lenient, and nonetheless you're not allowed to eat a betumah. So kashim, which is more chamor kashik, and you're not allowed to eat a betumah. And even if you're going to tell me normally you can't learn a lav from a kavachem reim mazir min adin, but there's also a hekesh, because the Torah says leitzucha lecha b'sherecha ma'aser b'gancha, and then further on the pasuk it says b'chares b'charecha b'nseinecha. So we're makish karbanis to ma'aser shein, just like ma'aser shein is also to eat betumah, who adin kashim are also to eat betumah. If that's the case, this pasuk is extra to teach us in many in the kachim, so it's coming the color stream of Shabbat Torah, and now again it's not needed for field, it's coming to teach us that it's also about no. But don't learn from their sreifa as well, because again Hanoisa tells us Dafka Noisa needs sreifa Dafka kachim, but Shari Surah Shabbat Torah do not require sreifa. On that fact, Ravina, who says maybe it's coming to say that if a person eats Tumah, he gets more than one lav. And we see that concept that sometimes the Torah stacks up lavim. Like Abaye says, if a person eats a water-based bug, he gets 4 sets of malchus. A land-based bug gets 5 sets of malchus. A flying bug even gets 6 sets of malchus. So the Gemara answers, when do we say that they're there for extra lavim? And that's only when we have nothing else to darshan for it. But it calls mind that we have a different thing to darshan from the psukim, so then we don't use it to make extra lavim. Now that we learn from this pasuk of Abasar Hashiyu B'chol Tami, so the Gemara asks, what do you do with the V'habasar, the extra word V'habasar, or the extra vav of the word V'habasar in the beginning of the pasuk? So we say that it comes to include that not only the meat of kachim would be chai for eating them with tumah, but even the wood of the mizbeach or the levain and the frankincense that are used for the melachis, one would also be chai for eating them with tumah. And the habasar of the end of that pasuk, which is also extra, we say that not only for eating the meat of the karbanos is chayv, but even if he eats the emur and the parts that go on the mizbeach, he would also be chayv. Don't we know that from mibisara hashlam masher lashet, which means the parts that go to Hashem, which is the emurim? So we said that pasuk is talking about it if a person eats it when the person's tummy that he's chayv karis. Our pasuk is talking about eating it when the emurim are tummy that he's over a lav. Then the Gemara says from Rav Avoh in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, all these sermon of the Torah, he's only chai for eating them if he eats them in the normal way to be eaten, to exclude, for example, eating raw chaylev. The Igda Ami, Rav Avoh says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that all these suri hanah in the Torah, he's only chai for having anah from them in the normal way of having anah. To exclude, let's say, if he took the chaylev of a shara niska, which is also banah, and he put it on his wound, that's not the normal way to have anah from chaylev. So therefore he would be potter, and according to the second opinion, if he's potter from Hanah Shalei Kederach Hanah, for sure Achila Shalei Kederach Achila would be potter. We said it also from Rabasi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that if a person puts the chelav of a shara niska on his wound, he would be potter because it's not Kederach Hanah also. So on that, Rabbi Zeri says, I have a raya, because it says there's no malchus for Arla only on the juices that come out of olives and grapes. but what comes out of berries, figs, or pomegranates is no makus. Presumably because it's shaleka derech hano. So Zabai no raya. If you would tell me that you had the fruit itself shaleka derech hano, then it would be a good raya. But maybe over here that it's the juices. The reason why it's putter is because the juice is not called the pri itself. It's just like zeyabam, but just like the sweat, and it's not part of the arla. Abai says everybody agrees by klaya karam that even shaleka derech hano, then there would be malchus, because since it doesn't say achila in the pasuk of klaya karam, so therefore it doesn't have to be kederech. On that, we ask a counselor from the Bryce that Isi ben Yudah says, how do I know Basar B'cholov is also to be eaten? Because we have a Gzeir Shav Kodesh Kodesh from Basar B'cholov to Trefa. That would only tell us that it's also Bechila. How do you know it's also Banah? So we make a Kal V'chomer from Arla. If Arla wasn't made, created by Avera, and nonetheless it's also Banah, so Basar B'cholov, which was created by Avera, for sure should be also Banah. On that, the Gemara asked, I have a Pircha that Arla has a Chumra, because it never had a Shasa Kaisha, it never had a time that, from the beginning, from day one, it was always also, it was never had a time that was Mutter, whereas Basar B'cholov, the Basar by itself and the Cholov by itself were Mutter. So we bring a Rai from Chametz HaPesach, which is also Banah, even though it had a Shasa Kaisha. You can't learn from Pesach, because Chametz HaPesach has a Chumra that it's Chayiv Karis. So then we say, learn it from Basar B'cholov, from Klai HaKerem, which doesn't have Karis, and nonetheless it's also Banah. Now, if Klai HaKerem has a Chumra that it's also even Shaleka Derech HaNasan, so then again, you have a Pircha from, you can't learn from there, because it has a Chumra of Shaleka Derech HaNasan. So on that, Abai answers back, no Raya from there, because what are you going to say? By Basar B'cholov, it's only Kederech HaNasan, it doesn't say Achila by Basar B'cholov either. So the same way Klai HaKerem would be also Shaleka Derech HaNasan, so what in Basar B'cholov? The other Manama says no. The Machshin, because since it was learned out of Vela, just like the Vela is only Kederach HaNasan, so to Basar B'cholov was only Kederach HaNasan. And that Abai answers that since the Torah didn't write Achila Beferish by Basar B'cholov, and rather you have to learn it from somewhere else, the reason that the Torah did it is Gufa to tell us that it would be Aser, even Shalai Kederach HaNasan. Then the Gemara asks at the end of the day, how could you learn from Klai HaKerem? Klai HaKerem didn't have a Shas HaKesher. So the Gemara says, from here we have a raya that Klai HaKerem, not only the gross harasa, but even the plant that you originally planted is also, and therefore that plant had a shasa kasher. On that, the Gemara asks, we say that if a person takes up a pot that has a hole in it with a plant through a vineyard, if it grew 1/200th, then it's aser, which is masha. If not, it's not aser. But if even the plant becomes aser, what's the difference? So on that, the Gemara answers because there's two psukim. One pasuk says hazer, which is mashma, the plant itself, and the other pasuk says amaleya, which is mashma, the growth. So if it's a new plant that you're planting now, the plant itself becomes aser. But if it was a plant that was already planted, like the case of the atzanakim, that you're just walking through the vineyard, so only the growth are aser, not the plant itself. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that a person could heal himself with all Yisurim, with the exception of Atzei Asher, which is an Avodah Zarah tree. So Gemara asks, what's the case? If there's a Sakana, then everything should be Mutter. And if there's no Sakana, so then nothing should be Mutter. So the Gemara said, no, we're talking about that there's a Sakana, and nonetheless, Atzei Asher is Aser, like Rabbi Lazar says, because it says, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Meitecha, which tells us whichever one is more dear to a person, whether it's his life or whether it's his money, he has to love Hashem more than that, which means a person has to give up even his life for Avos Hashem, not to serve Avodah Zarah. On that, we bring from Ravin in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that from all Yisrael a person could heal himself with the exception of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shiluch Dam. Avodah Zarah is like we just said. Gilui Arayos and Shiluch Dam, the source is because it says by Nara Marasa, when someone was Ma'anasir, that she's Potter, because just like someone getting up to kill someone else is unavoidable, so too this. So why we be Makish Nara Marasa to Ritzicha? So we said it sounds like Ritzicha is coming to teach something to Nara Marasa, but really is coming to learn from Nara Marasa. Just like by Nara Marasa, you could save her by killing the one who's trying to be Ma'anasir, so too by Ritzicha, you can kill the one who's about to be killed by killing the Roidev. And also, just like by Ritzicha, the halacha is Yerav HaYavar, he has to give up his life not to murder, so too by Arayas, the halacha is Yerav HaYavar. Now, how do you know by Ritzicha itself that the halacha is Yerav HaYavar? So the Gemara brings a story from Rava that someone asked him that the government official in my city told me that either I have to kill someone or get killed. So Rava said, you have to let yourself get killed. You can't kill him, because who said his blood is any your blood is any redder than his? Then the Gemara brings a story that Marbar Rashi saw Ravina smearing his daughter with the oils that came from unripe Paris of Arla. So he said,
even though it's shalika erchana, even though you're healing it with it, but that's only mutter b'shas sakana. Who said it's mutter even shalay b'shas sakana? So the Gemara says this type of fever that his daughter had is called a sakana, and that's why it was mutter. Or another lashon said that the Teretz is that he was only doing it shalika derchana because it was unripe fruit, and therefore it would be mutter for any refuah. Then the Gemara has a machlokes. If a person has ana that comes to him against his will, he didn't try to have the ana, it just ends up coming to him. So Abai says it's mutter, Rava says it's aser. And the Gemara explains, if it's possible to avoid it, and he's being mechavin, or even if it's not possible to avoid it, but he's being mechavin, he's intending to have the ana, so then everybody agrees that it's aser. If it's not possible to avoid, and he's not being mechavin, then it's mutter. The machlokes is where it's possible to avoid, but he's not having kavana for the ana. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Davar Shem is Kavan is also, so again, it will be also. The Machlokes is according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds normally Davar Shem is Kavan, that without intention it's Mutter. So then Abai says, so therefore it's Mutter. Says Rava, when was Rabbi Shimon Mater Davar Shem is Kavan? Only when it was not possible to avoid. But over here, where it's possible to avoid, it's Aser. According to the Igad Amri, if it's Efsher, if it's possible to avoid, and he's not having Kavan, that's the Machlokes of Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and everybody would agree like that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's Mutter. Rather, the machloikis is where it's loyasher, where it's not possible to avoid, but you are having ana. So, according to you are having kavana. So, according to Rav Shimon, that we look at kavana. So, of course, it's also. The question is, according to Rav Yehuda, who doesn't look at as kavana, because he holds that when it's asher and the loy miskam and damashem miskam is also. So, maybe the opposite of well, zakabai, that when it's loyasher, so even if he's having kavana, it will still be mutter. And that says, Rav, no. When does Rav Yehuda equate without kavana to with kavana only lachumla, that asher v'loy miskam is going to be also? But lakuli, to say that when it's loyasher, should be mutter even with kavana, that he never said. So then the Gemara wants to bring a raya that Rav Yechem and Zaka used to say shir in the shade of the hecho. Over here it's loyasher because he had no other space, but Lamaisi was mechavim for the shade, and we see it's mutter. Rav will answer you. That's not a raya because over there it's shalika derech anase because the walls of the hecho were made to have enough from the inside, not from the outside. Then Rav brought a raya from the workers who used to be let down to into the kodesh kadashim to fix things. That we let them down through a skylight, through a trapdoor, and in a box, in order that you shouldn't have enough from seeing the rest of the kodesh kadashim. So over here it's layasher; it has to be fixed, and nonetheless, we put him in the box in order that they shouldn't intend to have anah, because if they had anah, we see that it's aser. So on that, the Gemara says, do you think that it's also maker din? Don't we say anyways that sight or sound or smell, there's no me'ila in the first place? So it was just a chumrah, and therefore you can't bring a raya from there. The Igadami said that Rava brought a raya straight from this member of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, that kol ma'ara v'reach sight, sound and reyach don't have me'ila. It's mashma, there's no me'ila. But an issa there would be. So that means the smell of the keteris would be usher, and we're assuming that it means even for the people who are inside, that they have to be inside. Nonetheless, that means it's lay usher for them, and nonetheless, if they have kavan, it's usher. So Samara says, no, maybe we're talking about the people who are standing outside. For them, it's usher to avoid it. So on that, the Gemara takes a step to the side for a second and discusses that which we say that Kol Mara and Reyach don't have Me'ila. What does that mean? Don't we have a verse that says someone who makes a replica of the Keteris either to learn or to donate it to the Tzibur, he's not chayv for creating the Keteris. But if he makes it for his personal use, he's chayv. And if someone takes smells the Keteris of the Beis HaMikdash, is potter from the lava of making the Keteris, but he's chayv for Me'ila. So we see there is Me'ila on Keteris. So Rav Papa says, Ko and Mara, sight and sound, then there's no Milo across the board because there's no Mamish. The Reyach for smell, so it depends. By Keteris, after the smoke already comes up, the reason why there's no Milo is because it's not Mitzvah, the Mitzvah was already done, and once the Mitzvah is already done, there's no more Milo. But when one steals Keteris and does it in his own house, so then there is Milo because it wasn't Nasa Mitzvah. That which we said that Nasa Mitzvah, there's no Milo, we asked from Trumas Hadeshin, that by Chumas Hadeshim it says that it has to be put next to the Mizbech and be buried there, and if that means that a person cannot have enough from it. So we see even after Nasa Mitzvah there's still Mi'ila. So the Gemara answers, because Chumas Hadeshim and Big Dikuna are Shneksum Bangach, the Torah teaches us the same lesson twice, and the rule is if the Torah teaches the same lesson twice, it's mashma that it's only true in those two places, and we don't learn from there to anywhere else. So Trumas Hashem is what we just said, and the big tikkun, because it says by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, v'nicham shami, places them there, which is mashma that it needs geniza. So even after it's nazim mitzvosei, it has to be buried. It's also bana. So says the Gemara, that's only true according to the shita of the Rabbanon that say that the clothing must be buried and they're not used ever again. But according to Rabbi Daisa, who says that all it means is that a Kohen Gadol can't use it for another Yom Kippurim, but a Kohen Hedi could use it, so we don't learn anything from there. It's not Nasa Mitzvasa yet. So the Gemara says, because Chumas Hadashan and Egla Rufa are Nasa Mitzvasa, because Egla Rufa, even after it's beheaded, it's Aser, even though it's Nasa Mitzvasa. So that's Shnei Ksuvim Abayin Kechad. Says the Gemara, that's only good according to the opinion that Shnei Ksuvim Abayin Kechad, you can't learn from there, but according to the opinion that even if it's Shnei Ksuvim Abayin Kechad, you would still learn from there, what are you going to say? So the Gemara says, over here we have two mutim, we have two exclusions, because it says, by Chumas Hadashan v'samoy, only it remains also, not other things, and by Egla Rufa as well, it says, Ha Rufa, which is much adopted, Egla Rufa is Aser and other things. Going back to our original machlokes of Abai and Rava, so the Gemara brings a raya that if you attach a paraduma to a harness in order that it should nurse and it ends up threshing, it's still kosher, it's not called that it did avoida. However, if you intended it to nurse from its mother and thresh, so then it's possible. Now over here it's loy efsher because it has to nurse from its mother. And nonetheless, if you have kavana, it's possible. So the Gemara says it's no raya from there, because over there the Torah says asher loy ubaba, which means no work was done for it, even memele, even if you didn't intentionally do the work, nonetheless it becomes also. If that's the case, says the Gemara, so why in the ratio when it's threshed is it not possible? So the Gemara says, because we have a mission that says if a bird rests on it, then the paradum is mutter. If a zacher goes on it, a male goes on it to mate, then it's a apostle. So what's the difference? So teretz is because the pasuk that says that it didn't do work, had it said avad and we would have read it avad, so then it's mashma only if you work with it intentionally. Had it said ubad and it was read ubad, so then it's mashma even work to happen by itself is usher. Now that it's written avad but it's read ubad, so even work that's memela makes it usher, but only if it's dumya is comparable to the work that you do intentionally, which means you're happy with it. So when you're happy with it, which is like when you intend for the work, so then it's taka puzzle. But when you weren't happy with it, so then it doesn't become puzzle. Then Gemara brings a raya if a person finds an aveda, a garment, so he has to spread it out from time to time to air it out, but only for its benefit, not for his benefit. If he gets guests, so then even for its benefit, he can't spread it out. So the Gemara is assuming, because the reason is it's light asher, it has to be spread out to air it out, but nonetheless, since you're having kavana to have your own personal, no, that's why it's a problem. So Gemara says, no, the reason why over there is because it's going to get destroyed, either because the guests are going to give it a nine horror, or because they may steal it. Then the Gemara brings a Mishnah that says that those who sell shatnez, they're allowed to try and the begadim normally, as long as they don't have kavana to in the sun to protect them from the heat, or in the rain to protect them from the rain. But the tznuim, the people who are extra makbid, so they hung it on sticks instead of wearing it. So over here it's efsher, you could do like the tznuim, and nonetheless, when you don't have kavana, it's mutter. So this is a kasha according to the first lashon, according to Rabbo, who said that Rabbi Shimon only permitted Davar Shem Miskavim when it's Le'asher, because over here we see that Davar Shem Miskavim is mutter even when it's Asher. Going back to the mission says you can't use chametz to heat up an oven. So the Gemara brings a brisa that says an oven that was heated up with Arla or Klai HaKerem, so if it's a new oven, so the first time it's heated up, that finishes making the oven, so the oven has to be broken, smashed. If it's an old oven, should just cool it down in order not to bake with that heat. If one did bake bread with that heat, so Rebbe says the bread becomes asa, the Chacham say the bread is mutter. If you use it on, if you cook the bread on top of coals, that means the fuel of the arla, the klai kerem, was already destroyed, and only then did you have enough from it, so then everybody agrees it's mutter. Gemara quotes another bais, it says, whether it's a new oven or it's an old oven, all you have to do is cool it down, you don't have to smash it. So Gemara says, not a stira. The same Rabbanon who say that the bread is mutter, so who didn't they'll say that the oven is mutter? The first Brisa that said that the oven's aser is going like Rebbe who says the bread is aser. So in that the Gemara says, even Rebbe who says it's aser, because the hana, the benefit of the wood, of the arlo and klai kerem is seen in the bread, but still, why should the oven be aser? Because the oven, it doesn't work by itself, it has to be used with two things, it has to be an oven and fuel. Therefore it will be called zev zer gerim, when there's two things that cause it, one of mutter, one is aser. So who said Rabbi says that zev zer gerim is aser? So the Gemara says, you're right, the first price that says the oven has to be smashed is Rabbi Yezer, who says that is Zayagarim is also. Where do we see this? Because we say, if you have a dough that was made chametz with two yeasts, one of chulin and one of chuma, but each one by itself can't make a chametz, but the two together made a chametz. So Rabbi Yezer says, it depends which one falls second. If the chulin one fell second, so then the dough is considered chulin. If the chuma one fell second, it's considered chuma. The chametz say, regardless, it's mutter. Until the chuma one can make a chametz by itself. And on that, Abaye said, that which we say according to Blazer, we go after the second one is only if you remove the first one before the second one fell in. But if you didn't, so then regardless, it's aser. Why? Because Zavizagarim is aser. So, says the Gemara, so, but who said that Pshat and Rav Elazar is like Abaye? Maybe Pshat and Rav Elazar is only because he holds Achra Achanam, we always look at the second one, but if they fell in together simultaneously, maybe Enechanami, it would be Mutter because Zavizagarim is Mutter. So rather, it's a different Rav Elazar who says that if you take the wood of an Asherah tree, of an Avodah Zarah tree, and you heat up an oven with it, so the Bryce says, if it's a new oven, it has to be smashed, if it's an old oven, you have to cool it down. If you bake bread in it, so then the bread that was baked in it is also banan. And even if that bread gets mixed with others, and some of the first mixture gets into a second mixture, everything's also because Avodah Zarah doesn't have bittul. And that Rabbi Yezer says, disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says that you could take the value of that one bread that was cooked by Isser and throw it into Yama Melech. And that the Chachamim say back, no, there's no such thing as pidyon as redeeming Avodah Zarah. So bottom line, we see over here that Zevi Zagarim is also. And on that the Gemara asks, maybe that's only true by Avodah Zarah, which is Chomer. Who says he says it by other Yisurim? So the Gemara says two things. First of all, if that's the case, then that first Brisa that says it by other Yisurim, who are you going to say it is? And furthermore, we have a Brisa that says Beferish, that Rav Elazar said the same thing by other Yisurim. Then Abaye says, if you want to say that Rebbe of the first Brisa, who says that the bread is also, holds that Zevi Zagarim is also, so then Rebbe and Rav Elazar hold the same thing. However, if you want to say that Rebbe holds that Zevi Zagarim is Mutter, and the only reason why the bread is also is because it's more than a Zevi Zagarim. It was made directly by the wood of Isser, and therefore you see the benefit, the shvach of the wood inside the bread. So then it will come out that cups, plates, and bowls, pitchers that are made from the heat of Isur Anah, so that would be comparable to the bread of that was made with Isur Anah. It's only one garim, and therefore they would be aser. Whereas an oven or a pot, since they have to be used together with fuel in order to have an oven, then they would be zevizagarim, and therefore they would be mutter. Then the Gemara brings a second lashon ikudami that says that a pot as well would be aser, because a pot, besides cooking the food beforehand, it holds the food, and at that point in time, it's only one garim, so therefore it would be aser. Then the Gemara says that Shmuel brought a brisa that said an oven that was heated with klipe or with arla or klayakarim. So if it's an old a new oven, it has to be smashed. An old oven has to be cooled down. If you bake bread, Rebbe said the bread is mutter, and the chum said the bread is aser. So didn't we have until now the opposite, that Rebbe was the one who said lechumra and the rabbanim were the ones who said lekula? So Gemara says either Shmuel had the gears and the brisa the opposite way, or you could say that really Shmuel had the brisa the way we had it, but he held the halacha lamaisa, he passed him like Rebbe. Therefore, he flipped the brisa, because normally the rule is that we only pass him like Rebbe when he argues on the yachid, but not when he argues on Rabbim. Over here, he wanted to pass him like Rebbe even when he argued on Rabbim. So he flipped the brisa. So you should think that it's the opinion of Chum that said it also in order that you should pass in that way that the bread is aser. That which we said is that when you bake it on coals, everybody agrees it's mutter, so the Gemara brings a machloikis. One opinion said that's the akka because the coals are dimming, but if the coals are still burning, then the bread would be aser. The other one said even if the coals are burning, since the wood is already destroyed, so it's we don't say in that case yeshvach etzim apas, and therefore the bread would be mutter. If that's the case, when did Rebbe say that it's aser? When you have the log there, it's not yet a coal, and the log is a burning log, and they cook the bread at that point in time. If that's the case, so it's Masha of the Rabban who disagree with Rebbe, hold that even that case is mutter. So, according to them, when is the wood of Arla of Klai HaKerem ever aser? Teretz is if you make like a stool out of it, and you're using the wood itself, not when you're burning the wood as fuel. Then we ask, according to the opinion of the Rabban, what happens if you use wood of Hektish to heat up and to cook the bread? would it be the same or not? So on that we said that it's Osir. So we said, what's the difference? Because Arla has Bittul at least 1 in 200. So the same way as Bittul, once you destroy it, it becomes Mutter. Whereas Hekdesh doesn't have Bittul. On that the Gemara asks, but who cares? But Hekdesh, as soon as you use it for your own personal benefit, so you Chayav Mila. And one of the halachas of Mila is, once Mila was done to it, it loses its status of Hekdesh, it becomes now Chulin. So the Gemara answer we're talking about over here, Ase Shlomim, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda says, by a normal hekdesh, if you did a b'shoigig where there's a chi of mi'ila, so then it becomes chulin. B'mezid, where there's no carbon mi'ila, so then it doesn't become chulin. So we see that it only becomes chulin when there's a chi of carbon mi'ila. If that's the case, by shlomo, which is kashim kalam, which never has a carbon mi'ila, so therefore it doesn't become chulin. And that we asked, in a case that he was mo'ila and it does become chulin, don't we have a brisa that says, all isurim that became burnt, their ashes are mutter, with the exception of an asherah tree and the ashes of Hekdesh? So the Gemara gives two terutzim. Either that's talking when the fire came on broke out on its own, so no one was mild, or it's those ashes we were talking about over there were the ashes of the Trumas Hadeshen, like we said before, that even after they're placed down, they require Geniza, and therefore they're still Aser Banna. That which Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, the only way to be Yoytze Bir Chomis is with Sreifa, is with burning it. So Rabbi Yehuda made a Kavah Chomer from Neisser. Neisser, where there's no Isser of Bayer or Bayer Matzah, of having leftover Kachim, and nonetheless you have to burn it. So Chomish, which has Bayer or Bayer Matzah, for sure has to be burnt. So on that, the Chom disagreed. You're trying to make a Kavah Chomer to learn a Chomer, but it ends up being a Kula, because if you don't have any way to burn it, you're not going to destroy it any other way, and you're going to sit there and not destroy it, and you're going to be over the love of not getting rid of it. Then Yehuda wanted to make a different drasha. Noiser is also bachila, and so too chametz is also bachila. So just like noiser requires sveifa, so too chametz requires sveifa. So on that we said the nevela is also bachila, and you don't have to burn nevela. So the Gemara says, yeah, but chametz is also bachila and ba'ana, and who are the noiser, whereas nevela is not. So on that we ask from Shar Niska, which is also also bachila and ba'ana, and nonetheless doesn't require sveifa. So on that we said yes, but the other two are not only also bachila and ba'ana, but there's a punishment of curse if he eats them, where Shar Niska does not. So on that we said, what about the chilav of Shar Niska, which has all three and nonetheless doesn't require sveifa? So then we need to try the third way. Nicer, you're not allowed to leave it over. There's a lot of making it nicer. So who had in chametz, you're not allowed to leave it over because it's bayir bayir matzah. So just like chametz requires nicer requires sreifa, so too chametz requires sreifa. So in that the chametz said, according to your opinion, ashem taloi and chatas ha'if, which comes on the safik, meaning someone who has a safik tumah and therefore he brings a chatas ha'if on a safik, those two should prove, because we hold that Ashen Talit that becomes possible, or any Chatas HaVayifah which can never be eaten, so by definition it's going to become nicer, requires Sreifah, but you hold that those two don't require Sreifah, all they do is that they have to be buried. So the Shitasa, there's a Chiv, there's an Isra Achila on them, there's an Isra Ana on them, and there's a Chiv Karas for eating them, and nonetheless, you hold they don't require Sreifah, so Hu Adin, maybe Chavas HaPesach, and Rabbi Yehuda kept quiet, he didn't have what to answer. So on that, the Gemara gives three mishnah. Rabbi Yosef says, this is what people say, that a carpenter creates either a spoon or a bowl, and then he eats mustard with it, and he ends up burning his own tongue. I mean, Rabbi Yosef's undoing was his own shita. Another mishnah Abayi says is that a blacksmith makes these chains to lock people up. If he eventually gets arrested and locked up in them, he gets paid by his own handiwork. And Rafa gives one more mushel, a smith who makes arrows, if he ends up getting killed with an arrow, so he ended up being killed by his own handiwork. Then the Chachamim of our Mishnah said that the Chametz doesn't have to be burnt, rather they could be crumbled up and thrown into the wind or into the sea. So the Gemara wanted to know if this crumbling up is going on both when you throw it into the wind and into the sea, or only when you throw it into the wind, but when you throw it into the sea, you could throw it whole. And similarly, by Avodah Zarah, we have a similar thing, that you grind up Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yosi says that you grind up Avodah Zarah, and either you throw it to the wind, or you put it into the sea, and we have the same shot over there. Is the word grinding going on both throwing it into the sea and throwing it into the wind, or is it only going on throwing it into the wind, but when you throw it into the sea, you could even throw it in whole. So on that, Rava wanted to say, Avodah Zarah, where normally the Mishnayos are talking that you throw into the sea, is referring to Yam HaMelech. So since it's Yam HaMelech, no one's going to come across it. So there, you could throw it in. You could throw it in hell. Whereas chametz could be thrown into any water, someone may come across it. So there, it needs to be crumbled up. Rabbi Yosef said the exact opposite. Avodah Zarah, which is made out of materials that don't disintegrate on their own, so there you have to grind it up. Chametz, which is something that will dissolve on its own, disintegrate on its own, so therefore you don't have to crumble it up. The Gemara brings a brisa that says, like Rabba by Avodah Zarah, that by Avodah Zarah it has to be, by chametz it has to be ground up, and a brisa like Rabbi Yosef that it says by Avodah Zarah it has to be ground up. So the Gemara says that what is Rabba going to do with that brisa that says by Avodah Zarah has to be ground up? So Rav is going to answer that, talking about when you're not throwing it into Yam HaMelech. What's Rav Yosef going to do with the brisa that says by chametz has to be crumbled up? So the Gemara says that's talking, when do you, Rav Yosef say that you don't have to crumble it up? That's by bread which will disintegrate in its own. But when you throw in kernels of wheat that became chametz in a sack, so over there, of course you have to crumble it up, meaning you have to break open the bag and let it scatter out, because that's not going to disintegrate on its own. The next Mishnah says, if you have chametz of a goy that went through Pesach, it's motor bana, but chametz of a yid that went through Pesach is also bana, like it says, le'yir le'chosar. The Mora said, presumably, it sounds like our mission is not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, nor Rabbi Shimon, nor Rabbi Yosef Glili. Because what's this? Because we have a brisa that says, chametz before Pesach, meaning from chatzos of Erev Pesach till the evening, and also after Pesach is only a lav, whereas on Pesach itself is a lav and karis, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon says, no, before Pesach and after Pesach there's no lav whatsoever, and on Pesach there's a lav and karis. Then the brisa continues that once the chametz is also to be eaten, it's also about noah, and the Gemara explains that that's going like the Tanakhama, like Rav Yehuda, because like Rav Shimon, it's motor bar noah till the night, and nonetheless it's also b'achila from chatzos of Erev Pesach. Then the brisa continues that there's a third opinion. Basically it says, like we quoted earlier, that chametz is, even on Pesach itself, is motor bar noah. Then the Gemara says, according to Rav Yehuda, how do you know that even on Erev Pesach, from Chatzos and on, there's a lav? Because it says, Leisechel of Chometz. Rav Shimon says, how can you say that pasuk is referring to Erev Pesach? It says in the same pasuk, Shivas Yom Teichel of Matzah. So it teaches us that only at the time that there's a mitzvah of Achilles Matzah is there a lav of Achilles Chometz. But on Erev Pesach, where there's no mitzvah of Achilles Matzah, there's no lav of Achilles Chometz. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there's a lav Erev Pesach and for chametz shal Erev Pesach, because there's three psukim with regard to achilas chametz, lo yeachal chametz, and komach mas leisechelu, and lo yisechelu chametz. So there's three lavim, one for Erev Pesach, one for Pesach itself, and one for chametz shal for Erev Pesach. Rabbi Shimon will tell you that there's one lav for Pesach itself. The pasuk of komach mas leisechelu was needed for this drasha that says, I would only know that chametz that became chametz by itself is also, how do you know that if you made a chametz through some other material that caused it to become chametz, that it's also, that's from the pasuk of machmetz, that it became chametz from something else, nonetheless, loisechelu. And the third one is talking about the Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, that first year, how do you know that it was only an Isser chametz of one day and not 7 days? Because it says, so it's Le'yachol Chometz Hayoyim Lidarshin, the smuch and the fact that the two psukim are together to teach us only today, the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, was also but not for 7 days. So according to Buto, how does he know the something that was Nischametz from something else is also to eat? So he tells you that that's learned from the fact that instead of calling it Chometz, the Torah calls it Machmetz. But the fact that it's an extra pasuk also teaches us an extra lav. And that halacha of Rabbi Yosi that the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim is only also for 1 day. So either you could say that that's because the two psukim are next to each other, but it doesn't need an extra pasuk for that. Or you could say that Rabbi Yosi's opinion is that we never darshan smuchim the fact that two psukim are next to each other, and Itaka doesn't hold like that. Rabbi Yosi agreed that it was only for 1 day. That which Rabbi Shimon asked Rabbi Yehuda, that how could you say that this pasuk is referring to Erev Pesach if it's makish the Isra of Achilles Chometz to the Mitzvah of Achilles Matzah, so what's Rabbi Yehuda going to answer back? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that hakash is needed to say that even Bizman Azed, that there's no Karban Pesach, nonetheless there's still a Mitzvah of Achilles Matzah, because as long as there's an Isra of Achilles Chometz, there's a Mitzvah of Achilles Matzah. Rabbi Shimon, how does he know that drasha? Because it says, Be'er Teichel Matzah, it means no matter what, you have to eat Matzah even without a Karban Pesach. even Bezman Hazeh. Rav Yehuda says that from Be'er Tekel Matzah you can't learn it, because that's needed for the Zman that the Beis HaMikdash was standing, but for someone who didn't bring the Karban Pesach, for example, he was Tamei or he was far away. You would think that once he's not bringing the Karban Pesach, he doesn't have to eat Matzah Marah as well. Kamash Shalom, that he does. But maybe Bezman Hazeh no one brings, you don't need, and that's why you need the other Pesach. Rav Shimon will tell you, no, Tamei Mederach Rechaiti, you know from the fact that the Torah says that an Arul, someone who doesn't have a Bris Midah, or Ben Nefer, someone who is a Mumer, has to eat Matzah Marah, because it says, with regard to the Karban Pesach, an Arul Yecho Boy, in the Karban Pesach, but he still has to eat Matzah Marah. So once you know they have to eat Matzah Marah, so who had in Tamei Mederach Rechaiti, have to eat Matzah Marah, and therefore Be'er Tekel Matzah is extra to teach us Bezman Hazeh. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, the Torah told us both by Aron ben Necher and also by Tamim b'derech Rechaik. Therefore, the pasuk of Be'er Tekel Matzah is needed for that, and you only know from the Hekish Bezman Hazeh, and that's why he doesn't use the Hekish for what Rav Shimon says, to say that the lav is only during the time that the lav of Chumash is only during the time that there's a mitzvah of Achilas Matzah.